The Old Testament passage is taken from Joel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, and can be found on page 912 of the Church Bibles. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord, your God. The Gospel reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 1073. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go. Go now and leave your life of sin." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What are we doing here? Why did you come this evening? Why do we come to this service of penitent reflection? It was in the diary, so I came. We're people of the cross. We're people of the resurrection. We're the sons and daughters of God. Our reconciliation, our forgiveness was sealed 2,000 years ago. The creator of the universe received nails through his human flesh and overcame the powers of death and darkness to ensure our freedom. He even cried out, "It is finished." But if it's finished, why are we here? Well, we're not here to grovel. We're not here to wallow. We're not here to stew in our own juices. God requires none of that. His perfect way is love, not spite. His beautiful heart is generous, not vindictive. We come because we recognize how easy it is to become comfortable with grace. We come because we too, at times, have taken mercy for granted. We come because we need to, perhaps even long and yearn, to be reminded of the priceless value of eternal freedom. Freedom that no money can buy. Freedom that was paid for by the blood of the Messiah, God's own Son. By entering a season of confession and repentance, we make a conscious choice to bring ourselves, to place ourselves under the shadow of Almighty God and submit to his deep work within us. For the refreshing and the reminding that we long for comes powerfully when we recognize ourselves for who we are. The extent of God's grace and love and acceptance and cherishing establishes itself in our hearts when we are honest about our own identity. Today, I choose, we choose perhaps, to stand alongside a woman caught in adultery. We stand ourselves beside her, with her, rather than judging from the sidelines. Today, as we stand with her, all of us, we are accused and guilty as charged. Today we stand with her, expecting a death sentence because of our actions, the rocks already in the hands of the accusers, ready to strike. That is, or was, the fragility of our situation. The season of Lent renders us once again, temporarily, prisoner. We take up that fragile place where we remember our own reality, the internal thoughts and desires which betray us and which may betray the picture we present to others, the actions and failures with which we are disappointed and which we know dismay the Lord. Lent is a time for self-truthfulness where we own up to ourselves how things really are. God already knows. It's a time where we accept once more the title sinner. Because it's only when we stand ourselves next to the bedraggled woman in the temple courts that we are close enough to Jesus to hear him speak to her accusers, our accusers, knowing for certain that none of them is without sin either. It's only when we stand with her that we experience the same relief that she does of the sound of rocks hitting the floor one by one. Rocks that were once bound for her, bound for us, now laying purposeless on the floor. It's only when we stand with her, identify ourselves with her as sinners, that we can hear properly those beautiful words of Christ. Has no one condemned you? He asks her. He asks us. No one, sir, she says. We say, because of course Jesus has not yet given his opinion. And she trembles, still waiting for judgment, for a sentence, a consequence, a punishment. Then neither do I condemn you, he declares, looking straight at her. When we take time to be honest about who we are and the choices we've made and continue to make, those words become all the more sweet. It is, of course, no accident that this season of Lent, this period of self-examination and self-reflection, and perhaps even self-denial, finds its ending at Calvary on Good Friday, where we plumb the depths of human sin. Because by travelling that road and understanding our own part in it, we can, by contrast, experience fully the stunning truth of the Easter story that Christ is risen, that a death sentence is futile since death is defeated, and there is indeed no condemnation. Lent is a gift of contrasts. And why did we come here this evening? Why are we not in each in our own space, bearing our souls to God in privacy and solitude? We come together on Ash Wednesday to mark the beginning of this journey together. That gathering place in the temple courts is very busy this evening as we all cram ourselves in, along with the woman and all of our brothers and sisters around the world, to stand there condemned. We are all there together with Christ. Because the thing is, we can all too often view the believing community, our believing community, as a fellowship of saints before we see it as a fellowship of sinners. We can feel that everyone else has advanced so far into holiness that we are isolated and alone in our sin. We cannot bear to reveal our failures and our shortcomings to others. We may even begin to see those around us as the accusers, those who have rocks in their hand and would be ready to throw them if only they knew the truth of our identity. And so we hide it. But if we know that the people of God are first a fellowship of sinners, we are free amongst them to hear the unconditional call of God's love and his grace to each one of us. Just by being here this evening, you have articulated to the rest of us that we are not alone in our sin. The fear and the pride which cling like barnacles to us cling like barnacles to others as well, and we're sinners together. And by declaring that to each other, simply just by gathering and confessing together, we begin to release healing. We release the power. We relinquish the power of fear and of pride. Our humanity is no longer denied, but it is transformed. So I pray that during this season of Lent, you will find the strength to be honest with yourself and about yourself before God. That you will be reminded, as uncomfortable as it may be, of what it is to stand accused, guilty, and sentenced because of sin. And my prayer is such and so, because at the end of the season, as we celebrate Easter together, you will once again be astonished, overwhelmed, uplifted, healed, and transformed with the utter extravagance, beauty, and endlessness of God's love and grace for you and for each other. Amen.